little bit of a nerd when it comes to technology and stuff like that there. But apparently calling somebody a nerd these days is a very dangerous thing to do. But I like perspective. I like different perspectives. And I like maps. And so when I was thinking about this sermon, maps and perspective came to mind. So I was checking online, and there was this lovely NASA satellite view of the island of Ireland during the day. And then I thought, well, what would it look like at night? And then I found the one on the right-hand side, what it would look like at night. And then I thought, well, okay, well, where do we sit in the whole world? And there was a picture of the world. And we can look at things from many different perspectives. People see things in different ways, don't they? You know, so when you watch a football match, and someone scores a goal, someone will say that's a great goal. Someone will say that was an awful goal. Someone will say that wasn't really a goal at all. And then they bring in VAR, and people are still arguing over whether it was a goal at all. You know, so we have different perspectives on things. When I was a reporter, I used to go along to Portadown Football Club. Like, I am not a big fan of football, especially Irish League football. And I would go along to this Portadown, and I was in my mid-20s learning to be a reporter, and I was sitting in a cold press box with these seasoned guys who watched Portadown and Glenavon and them every week. And I was going, like, why? and then they were watching these goals go in. And then in those days you had to then get straight on the phone when a goal was scored and ring the Ireland Saturday Night. Everybody remember the Ireland Saturday Night? Well, there's a generation in here who will remember the Ireland Saturday Night. And then you would hear these guys ring up and describe the goal they've just seen. And you'd have thought Pele had scored the goal. So perspective was everything. Perspective is everything. So I'm challenging you a little bit this morning on your perspective of what is actually going on at Christmas. And we're doing that through the angel that visited Joseph. All right? So my question to you, and it'll become a little bit more apparent as to why I'm asking it, is this. What do you see? Okay? What do you see? So we have the story of Joseph read to us there, of the angel coming to Joseph, and Joseph is now a little bit disturbed because of what the angel is telling him. He then seeks to do the right thing, because even though he was engaged, and though the engagement at the time was as good as marriage, though it wasn't complete marriage, but it was as good as marriage. And here was this news that the woman that he was marrying would be carrying a child. And we have Joseph's perspective on the thing and what has happened to him and how he feels about it and what he thinks he's going to do about it. And the news is overwhelming. You can imagine Joseph getting this news and considering what that means to him in his life, what others will think of him because of the news. And of course, the evidence of the news will be self-evident 9 months down the line, so to speak. So it's very, a very important piece of news, and it impacts Joseph in a particular way. And he has his dream, and he sees the angel, and the angel speaks to him, and the angel speaks very, very directly to him, very directly to him, and says, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary for you as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. And then we get the little piece from Isaiah. Oh, my slide's falling on the floor. We get this little piece from Isaiah, confirming the prophecy of Isaiah from Isaiah 7 and verse 14. And then he goes on and says, "When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus." He called him Jesus. And if you've read the book of Matthew, you maybe get into Matthew chapter 1 and you go, "Oh my goodness, this is a horrendous start to this book this very important gospel, because it lists a lineage, doesn't it? It lists a lineage, and it goes through everybody and everybody and everybody, and then we get to, ultimately, to Jesus. And the importance of the lineage is so clear that we better understand it now than maybe they did then. So we have this child, Jesus, being born to a virgin. And this Jesus we understand to be God, Emmanuel, God with us. But he's named by Joseph. And that gives him his human credentials in the world in which he's been born into. That gives him his human credentials. Fully God, fully human. Lineage secure, and lineage was important to the Jews. So they needed to understand who this Jesus is when he was born. Who he is. Oh, why? He's Joseph's. And look how far Joseph goes back. And oh, wow, he's part of the Davidic line. Royal blood. This guy is serious. We need to take him seriously. So seriously that Herod wanted him killed off immediately. We all know the story. So this was Joseph. Joseph getting the news, the angel bringing the news, the angel reassuring, settling him down, says, all right, it's okay. Everything will be okay. Now, the only other bit of the birth narrative we get is, as you know, when the angel Gabriel comes to Mary. And then we get Mary's perspective. And we get the beautiful line from Mary, which is, well, let it be as you have said. I'm paraphrasing. But let it be as you have said. And we get Mary's perspective on this birth and how amazing this birth will be and who the child will be and, again, what we shall call the child. We're going to call this child Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. God always with us. And we can skip to the end of Matthew 28 and the Great Commission, and what does the Lord say? I will be with you always. There at the beginning, there as we work through our journey in life in Christ, there at the end, there thereafter. God always with us. And we have Mary's perspective on the whole thing. Joseph and Mary, two humble, unassuming human beings, thrown into the melee of Jewish and Hebraic Greek history at the time, and conferred upon them the most amazing thing. The most amazing event, the birth of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And they make their way through it with the two angels, Gabriel to Mary, and the other angel to Joseph, telling them not to be afraid. God is in charge. Everything will be all right. Joseph's perspective, Mary's perspective, but there's somebody else in the room other than the angel. Other than the angel. God. God is there too. Joseph, Mary, God. And what did God see? What was God looking at? Mary and Joseph naturally were concerned about themselves. God sees more than the individual. He sees all the individuals. God's perspective was much, much greater. God is looking down on a world that was sinful. God is looking down on a world that needs rescued. God is looking upon his creation and knowing that it needs restored, refreshed, renewed, whatever word you want to use. God is there too. And I wonder, do we not have a bigger perspective if we just focus on Joseph and we just focus on Mary? And we see the baby Jesus, what then did God see? God saw and sees so, so much more. So much more. What did God see? Now, to help you understand this a little bit, I'm going to show a video. All right? I'm going to show a video. Now, you have to concentrate as you watch the video because there's a question in the video, and then we're going to pause. We're going to pause the video when we get the answer to the question, and then I'm going to challenge you a little bit more. Okay? Apologies if you've seen this before, but I need you to concentrate and do as you're asked in the video. Okay? Let's run the video, please. Now, concentrate. Pause it there, please. How many got 15? How many of you got 15? You guys are brilliant. 15. 15's the right answer. 15's the right answer. Okay. Now, roll on to the next bit, but keep it going. Now I watch. Who sees it now? Okay. So, there's a new convert, brand new convert to Jesus Christ, and he has a dream one night. And in the dream, he's stuck down the bottom of a well. And in the well, he looks up and he sees a star. He sees a star. And as he looks at the star, lines of light like rope come down from the star. And as he looks up at the star, he starts to rise up in the well. And as he looks down to see where he's come from, he begins to sink in the well. He starts to go down. He looks up, he rises up. He looks down, he goes down. And the beautiful theologian A.T. Pearson says the following at the end of this. He calls it a parable. And in it he says, get your eyes off yourself and onto your Savior. Get them off your disease and onto your physician. Now and here, turn your eyes to the Lord Jesus. We are so busy, focused on us, that we don't see what God sees. We don't see what God sees. God sees sinful men and women. He sees the sin within. He didn't count the basketball passes. He saw the gorilla. He sees our sin. We are so busy focused on ourselves and our problems and our issues and the vagaries of life which impact upon us that we don't see what God sees. Get your eyes off yourself and onto your Savior. Get them off your disease and onto your physician. Now and here, turn your eyes to the Lord Jesus. That, I believe, is a clear and present challenge to every single person here this morning in the guts of Christmas. Now and here, turn your eyes to the Lord Jesus. Off ourselves. And on to him, because God looked down and God saw a sinful, sinful world. but not a world that was beyond hope. There's a Danish theologian called Søren Kierkegaard, and he tells this lovely story. There was a king, and the king was riding through the countryside with his entourage, and he rides through this beautiful village, and he sees a lovely peasant girl, and his eyes are transfixed by her, and he falls immediately in love with the beautiful peasant girl, and he decides in his own heart that he wants to marry her. But how on earth is that possible? For he is a king, and she is a lowly peasant girl. And he goes home, and he has his dinner, and he's sitting thinking about it. And he thinks to himself, you know what? I could order her. I could order her to love me and to marry me. I am the king. I can order her. No, but then he wouldn't know if she really loved him. He could swan up to her front door with his whole entourage and a beautiful carriage and his wonderful suit of armor and his crown on his head, and he could stand in front of her and say, I love you, I am the king, and she would be overwhelmed, but he still wouldn't know if she really loved him, that she was really choosing him for who he was. And this vexes him for two or three nights. And then he goes, aha, I know what I'll do. So he takes off all his robes. He places his crown in its box. And he puts on rags and clothes more appropriate to living in a dirty old village. And more appropriate to someone who earns their living scratching around in a field trying to make something of life. And he goes into the village and he lives with the villagers, and they have no idea who he is. And he gets to know them and they get to know him. And eventually this peasant girl whom he loves falls in love with the person that is the king, but she has no idea it is the king. And Kierkegaard's story, of course, is a parable, a metaphor for our God, who looked down, what he saw was a sinful man. He said, how can I help them? Because you see, God's messenger was an angel, but God's message was himself. God's message was himself. He came and dwelt among us. He loves us by the very act of the incarnation. He so desperately, desperately wants you to love him. To love him. So, see and hear the message this Christmas. The angel was the messenger, God's message was himself. See and hear the message this Christmas. Do you see with God's eyes, and are your eyes fixed on his son Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us? Do you hear what he says? Are you so preoccupied with yourself that you're missing the bigger picture this Christmas? Do you hear what he says? Do you see God in the manger or a cute little baby? Do you see yourself or do you see the sin that God sees? Do you want rescued this Christmas? Do you want rescued this Christmas? If you do, there'll be people here immediately after the service. And they love you too. They're not just here to listen to you, they love you. And they want to bring God to you. in prayer. God's perspective is huge and all-encompassing. Plenty of room. He sees it all. There's nowhere to hide, nowhere to go. Come this Christmas. Come up here this Christmas. Give yourself a present. Emmanuel, God with us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how awesome are you? We are but lost, but you here to rescue us. We thank you that you saw and see our sin. We thank you that you humbled yourself, made yourself so, so small, dwelt among us. Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.